نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون والذين هم عن اللغو معرضون. عمر رضي الله عنه says that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would receive wahi, divine revelation, we would notice it straight away because we would listen to the sound of the buzzing of bees near him. So we would understand that something has come to him from the heavens and we would be very anxious to know what's the latest revelation. Sahaba-i-Kiram, that was their anxiety, that was their enthusiasm to know what has come from Allah Ta'ala. What happens on earth may be a reality, may be an exaggeration, may be false, may be true for the moment and not true for later on. But what comes from Allah Ta'ala is precise, it's exact, and there's no alterations, there's no changes. So them being the most intelligent, أَعْمَقُهُمْ عِلْمًا, the anxiety was for the right reasons. The anxiety was for things that have a long-term benefit and gain. So they want to know what is the word of Allah Ta'ala, what is the message of Allah Ta'ala for the world, for the mankind. After the wahi, the revelation had subsided, Rasulullah SAW turned towards the Qibla and made dua. The wordings were, Allahumma zidna, Allah Ta'ala grant us increase without any decrease. And these are verses that are revealed at Makkah Mukarramah, when Muslims were constrained, small in numbers, and were being downtrodden. So zidna walatan husna, grant us increase, no decrease. Numbers, strength, might. We need these things so that we can practice our deen freely, without any obstruction, and without any type of difficulty. Wa akrimna walatuhinna, and Allah Ta'ala do honor us, and don't disgrace us. They are all around us, are kuffar, and all of them want to snatch away our iman. Some pretext or the other. But the idea is to rob us and plunder our iman. Through different ways, sometimes internet, sometimes interfaith, sometimes multi-faith, sometimes Abrahamic accord. But the whole intention is to rob us of our iman. وَدُّوا لَوْ تَكْفُرُونَ كَمَا كَفَرُوا. The whole idea is to make you kafirs. Like they are kafirs, then you must also become a kafir. That's the idea. So أَكْرِمْنَا وَلَا تُهِنَّا. You have blessed us with iman. So honor us, keep on honoring us with iman, with the blessing of iman. And let it not be that we are deprived of iman and then we fall into the abyss of disgrace and embarrassment. وَأَعْطِنَا وَلَا تَحْرِمْنَا. And go on blessing us with your favors and don't deprive us. We are small in number, we need your strength, we need your favors all the time. So also go on favoring us and don't stop your favors. وَأَسِرْنَا وَلَا تُؤْسِرْ عَلَيْنَا. And Allah Ta'ala favor us over the rest of the world, that people know that this is the word of Allah Ta'ala. Islam is the religion that is acceptable and recognized by Allah Ta'ala, and that is the only way. Every other way besides the way of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is leading you to Jahannam straight. So grant us that we are preferred in your sight. And the last dua ending up, وَأَرْضِنَا عَنْكَ وَرْضَ عَنَّا. And Allah Ta'ala, you be pleased with us as well, and let us be pleased with you as well. Nabi Sallam had made this dua, and then he spoke to the Sahaba-i-Kiram radiyallahu anhum, that these are the 10 verses that have been revealed just now of the Fulah al-Mu'minun until الَّذِينَ يَرِثُونَ الْفِرْدَوْسُ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. And whoever practices and applies these 10 verses, then the only delay to Jannat is his death. He dies and is flying straight to Jannat. But obviously, you need to comply and conform. With the conformity, and you're getting your guarantee into Jannat. So the first verse starts off with قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. The Muslim has prospered. So Allah Ta'ala used the past tense, has prospered already. In Arabic, when the past tense is used, is to show confirmation and certainty this thing won't be cancelled. This thing will be with Allah Ta'ala, that the Muslim will definitely prosper. So he's prospered, that means it's a foregone conclusion, not subject to any change and negotiation. He is prospered. But the word that is used for prosperity is falah. Like you say in Azan, Hayya ala al-falah. But what is the exact meaning of falah? So falah means to get every desire fulfilled without any delay. Now we know that in this world it doesn't happen for anybody. To get every desire fulfilled without any delay. You want money? You have to work. Work hard, study, etc., then you get some wealth, right? So you get your desires, but after some toiling. And the difficulty and agony and pain is for everybody. The wealthiest and the most powerful ruler to the lowest that is sleeping in the street, everybody goes, he has a fair share of some difficulty, anxiety, worry, distress, everybody goes through it. If the business is right, the son is not right. If the son is right, then the daughter is not right. If they are right, then someone got a health problem. If they don't have a health problem, then the son-in-law is not right. If that all is working well, then the business on manager is not right. So something or the other is not just adding up. So this is this life, where you will definitely go through some difficulty or the other, and nobody can say that I will not go through any difficulty. But the bonus for the Muslim is this: you practice and you are loyal to Allah Ta'ala. The Allah Pak says, فَلَنُحْيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. It will bless you with a pleasant life. You may have some difficulty, but Allah Ta'ala will support it with some happiness. Like a person is seeing his son off, right, to one of the wealthier countries, Middle East somewhere. So he finds it difficult to part with his son. But he knows that he's going to get a monthly salary of $60,000, right? That's more than a million approximately, right? So now, he will go through the difficulty of separation, but the rewards that make him forget the difficulty. So similar is the case of a Muslim, that he knows for every difficulty that I go through, then there's immense rewards, provided I'm patient and I persevere. Understand this is from Allah Ta'ala, and in time Allah Ta'ala will reward me. How He'll reward me and when He'll reward me, that is His prerogative, but there's definite reward. So the reward and the blessing that comes with that restraint, then make him forget the difficulty that he's going through. But nonetheless, the verse starts off, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. So this prosperity that we are talking about is confirmed, is guaranteed for who? For the person whose iman is right. So the first requisite in this entire plan, in this whole itinerary, is get the iman right. So your iman mustn't be influenced by paganism nor by modernism. Paganism is jahalat, the ignorant ways of old, right? Someone is worshipping an idol or an image or a grave. So all these ancestral baseless customs, ancestral custom, but they are baseless. There may be some ancestral customs that are right. Now, you're applying ether and coming to a masjid, it's a custom, and that's conformed to the sunnah, so you will not discard it as an ancestral custom. It has a base in the sharia, it has a base in the sunnah. So, the paganism that is of the past, and the modernism of the present. So you don't dilute your iman either with paganism or with modernism. Right? The modernism is that which is coming from the elite modern countries, and they wish to then influence your deen. That means when they want to influence your deen, then your deen mustn't be interpreted and explained by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They will give you the explanation of your deen. Now, who are these people? It's the kafirs, the shaitans, obviously. If they're kafirs, and they are shaitans, obviously. So they want to influence your deen and reinterpret your deen. That this is how you must watch your deen, and this is how. So we are told very clearly in the Quran and the Hadith, إِنَّ هَذَا الْعِلْمَ دِينُكُمْ فَانْزُرُوا أَمَّنْ تَأْخُذُونَ دِينَكُمْ. See, knowledge, information is your religion. Then you must be very wary as you where you sourcing your ilm from, where you're getting from. You must be very wary about it. Be very careful. Like you're doing, for example, you're doing business, right? You're doing business in, say, for example, chips, right? And you got a competitor, right? And he tells you, you know, you must get your chips from so-and-so place, you get it at a good price. So will you just take it with eyes closed? No. He's a competitor, so you don't know whether he's leading you or misleading you. You can be very wary about it. So in deen as well, then you must watch carefully where you're getting your information. You can't just take a pamphlet, listen to on radio, or look at the Google or AI, etc., and then move on with your deen. After all, for your health, and you've got a cardiac problem, then you won't just refer to a Google or to an AI. So your deen is billions of times more important than the small health issues. The health issue may be an insignificant thing, but your deen is much more important, because you want to source it from the wrong sources, and that's your ticket to Jahannam. So be very wary where you're going to be taking it from. Is it coming from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sahaba Kiram, Tabi'een, the jurists, the muhaddithin, Imam Bukhari, awliya-i kiram, or is coming from shaitans from the west? Where is it coming from? So they got no right to come and interpret, but they want to, somehow or the other, they want to interfere with the deen. Right? They got no, if they felt Islam was true, then why did they accept Islam? They're not accepting Islam because of their own personal reasons. But the whole idea is, as the Quran says, وَدُّوا لَوْ تَكْفُرُونَ كَمَا كَفَرُوا. They want you to be kafirs like they are kafirs. They want you to go to burn in Jahannam like they want to burn in Jahannam. Same exactly, the shaitanic mentality is the best. So anything that is coming from that end, we'll be very wary. Whether they call it Abrahamic Accord, whether they call it interfaith, etc., then this doesn't blend, it doesn't gel with us. It's coming from the wrong sources. It's not coming from Allah Ta'ala, His Nabi, it's coming from the kafirs, pure kafirs. They are bent on sending you to Jahannam. So you can't take information from them. For whatever it's worth, you can't take it at all. And in fact, if we are taking from them, then we are also suffering from a complex. See, there was a rocket scientist, but the rocket scientist came from Malawi, or he came from Bangladesh, right? A poor country, but he's a rocket scientist. The whole world knows about him. But if he introduces some type of a new thought, is the world going to accept it? Not going to accept it. Why? It's not coming from the West. So as though we are suffering a complex that whatever is white is right, West is best. That's how we are reasoning. Whereas what Nabi Sam said is best. What the Sahaba Kiram said, there was nothing better than that. What the Tabi'een, Muhaddithin, Awliya said, that was the best. Not these shaitans. So the first article in this entire itinerary, you see that your iman is not diluted with any foreign thinking, with any alien thing. Your iman and your belief, your articles of faith, is not influenced. It's exactly not diluted. That is for a person who wants a straight ticket to Jannah. But if you don't want that straight ticket to Jannah, then that's your prerogative. You don't want to be in Jannah, that's your prerogative. So you can take from kafirs, some shaitans, iblis, you can take from them. And then you can burn and roast in Jahannam with them. But if you want to be with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then take his way. Therefore the Hadith said it very clearly, that who follows me, then he is of me. But he who disobeys me, my style, my thinking, my beliefs, he disobeys, then he is Jahannam. He's gone. Gone off. So nobody wants that. So you don't want that, then see that your thought and your belief, your understanding is not diluted and not mixed up. Straight, undiluted, clear, pure. And the Quran also says it, مَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ حُنَفَى. So what have you been, what Allah has commanded? That your deen must be absolutely pure and not diluted. No dilution in your deen, nothing coming from wrong quarters. Any aspect, small aspect of your deen, or an important aspect, but see that it's not diluted by any ism, Westernism, Satanism, whatever ism, but it's not diluted. It's coming from the right source. That's the first requisite in your iman. مَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ مُخْلِصِينَ. Khalis means pure. So it must be absolutely pure, not diluted, not mixed up. And the emphasis is on the iman. And at a secondary level, then the amal. If the iman is not right, then the foundation is not right. You're putting up a 30-story building, and there's no foundation. It will collapse in no time. So iman also will just collapse. You're listening to this one here, that one, everybody else. But you're not verifying the source. You're not verifying the source, then you'll be jumping here, jumping again. Building is not steady, it's just falling. So what do you tell the person? Put it down and reconstruct it, get the foundation right. So one is mukhlisin, and one is the second word that the Quran says was used, hunafa. Hunafa comes from the word hanif. Hanif, what does it mean? Hanif means that person that is focused, he's turned away from everything else, and he is dedicated, devoted to Allah Ta'ala, dedicated to the way of Allah Ta'ala, devoted himself to the way of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That's the person it's called Hanif Hunafa. So that's the command. In every era, this was the command for the Nabi of the time and the followers of the time. Mukhlisin Lawuddin Hunafa. You got that right, then you got your basics right. You got the foundation right. Now, sky is the limit. You can keep on making progress. So thereafter, Allah speaks about the secondary matters, الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Then your iman is right, your namaz will be right. And the hallmark in the namaz is your level of humility and how calm you are in your namaz. You're not rushing through it, just rushing through the motions, you know, calm, collected, and doing the postures right at the right time in the masjid, and not intentionally allowing your mind to roam around at the time that you have given and dedicated entirely to Allah Ta'ala. May Allah grant us tawfiq.